Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ants Prison. I'm the host of this, Angelo, and this is the second episode of the second season. Now, over the first season and so far into the second season, I've gotten to meet a lot of people that I didn't know before and got to hang out with old friends as well. Occasionally, I had new old friends, people that you sit down and you start talking to and you're like, holy crap, it's like I've known this dude my whole life. And then there's that other notch. And there's a lot of people that when I first started podcasting, I kind of looked up to. And with you guys listening to this, I'm sure you can understand it, that the people that you listen to for years upon years, they kind of hold a soft spot for you. Like, I know a lot of people who started listening to podcasts with the Pit Imps or with even the Imps Prison, you probably look up to me as a podcaster. Well, when I first started listening to podcasts, I started listening with a little show called Monday Night Magic, and at the time, Tom was on there. And then I believe the second show I ever checked out was Yo MTG Taps. And for some reason, I listened to this, and this was the show that I looked forward to listening to every week, where Monday Night Magic was the show that I listened to get my news and to find out what was going on out there. Just to listen to for entertainment and to become a little bit better of a player, I listened to Yo MTG Taps. Mainly because of this huge personality they had on there named Big Head Joe. And I really looked up to this guy, so it was kind of weird when I finally got to sit down and talk with Joe for the first time. And you guys are going to get to hear it the same as I did, because this was the first time I ever talked to Joe. Short of a couple of Twitter conversations and Facebook conversations, this was the first time I actually ever got to chat with Joe. And it was kind of weird. I tried not to fanboy out too much because, you know, yeah, I do still kind of look up to this guy. He's still, as far as I'm concerned, an over-the-top personality that is worth giving a shot to. He does a show each and every week called Yo MTG Taps, and I think it's something that you guys should probably look into. He's a bit on the wild side, and it's kind of weird. Like, this is one of the shows that I had a feeling I knew where the conversation was going to go, and it started off away from there, but there was no way we could get through a whole conversation with me being a huge wrestling fan and Joe being a huge wrestling fan without at least talking some wrestling. But we talked about plenty of other stuff for about the first half hour, 45 minutes, before we actually got into the wrestling talk. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed sitting down and talking to Joe. That was some kind of bucket list thing for me. I got to knock that one off of there, and now I get to move on to the next one. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I do. Here you go. So, joining me right now is, well, how the hell do I say this? Wait, no, I know exactly how to say this. Oh my fucking god, it's Big Head Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's going on? The greatest Twitter handle in the world.
Yeah, there's a story behind that, too. And it's a short one. Some fucking asshole had Big Head Joe as their Twitter handle. They're Canadian, which already makes them twice as bad. And sorry, Scotty Mac.
They're probably nicer than you, but, you know.
I guarantee that because they're breathing. but then also, like, they haven't tweeted in, like, 5 years. So it pissed me off. So I was just like, okay, this one. And it just made it really obnoxious, so.
I don't know that it's obnoxious. I remember it. And isn't that what you're going for? With a Twitter handle? I was like, what the fuck? OM? I'm like, oh my fucking god, it's Big Head Joe. I got it. So, yeah, I understood that at least. Well, aside from the Twitter handle, like, real quick off the top before we get into these stories, I'm sure you got plenty of them. I got plenty of them. How the hell would people get a hold of you or hear your luscious voice over the interwebs if they wanted to?
Right on. So first of all, Yo MTG Tap is back. We've been back for almost a year, which is really cool. It's really exciting. Joey is taking an extended break, and we've got my buddy Stephen Marshall from Dallas filling in the seat there, and he's doing a great job. We are sponsored by LegitMTG.com, and we are actually, this is the first time I've ever said this on any recording. I'll be saying it again on our show later tonight, but whenever. Record a second podcast. Our website is iwantmymtg.com. Starting with this Friday's show, we will be coming out every Friday again. We'll be going back to a weekly schedule. We were every other week for this year, and that was cool. And when we got our sponsorship with Legit MTG, I was doing an article every other week, but I wasn't recording the show. I don't know. I enjoyed the opportunity to write articles, but it's not really my thing. So So now we're just doing the show weekly. So every Friday on legitmtg.com, of course MTGcast and iTunes. On Twitter, I'm at yoMTGTaps, or my Twitter handle, as you mentioned, is at omgwtfbhjftw. And just to pretend I'm hip, my Instagram is at yoMTGTaps.
Damn, I ain't even got an Instagram. Holy shit. it's good to hear that you guys went back to every week, because, like, I know, a year ago, like you said, you came back to every 2 weeks, and then, like, for 2 years before that, you was, like, every 3 months.
Right, every 6 months, 9 months, whatever. We were every other Thursday for the last year. And then Legit wanted to move us to Friday, and I was like, well, you know, we're moving to Friday. Fridays are a pretty important day of the week in terms of content. You know what I mean? Like, you get some of your best content comes out at the end of the week. So I was like, well, you know, I felt like I wanted to provide people a little more consistency. So it's not like, is it an article? Is it a podcast? An article? Is it a podcast? So we're doing just the podcast. So I like it. I'm glad. I'm glad we're doing that. So.
No, I feel you on that. I know, like myself, I try to get my other show out every Thursday to prepare people for the tournament scene that's, you know, coming up that weekend. And it gives people a day to listen. But you're right. Like, it seems like, you know, the most important stuff you're going to hear is going to be coming between Wednesday and Friday. And like, Friday is a big deal. And I get the writing thing. Like, I used to write for Bro Deals, and I was their every Friday writer. And it's actually a lot harder than people realize to write 8,000 words a week about something in Magic. Holy fuck.
Well, I sure wasn't writing 8,000. I was probably writing a quarter of that. But even still, like, I felt myself really grasping for topics faster than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not really a writer. I'm more like talking about this stuff. So I like writing. Sure, I like writing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I was just feeling like making a change and giving everybody a little more consistency. So here we go. So.
Well, I like the audio content myself a little better. It's easier to listen to while I'm working.
Yeah.
Like, reading while working gets me in trouble.
Right.
Especially when operating heavy equipment.
Yeah.
Shocked at how my boss frowns on that bastard.
Oh. What a hard ass.
I know, dickhead. but like, look, it's no secret. I know I've gone over this on the Pit Imps. When I first started listening to podcasts, you guys happened to be one of them that I first started listening to, and just out of pure curiosity for my own fucking sake, and I'm not one who asks a lot of questions on this show, but I need to know, how exactly did YoMTG Taps come about?
Okay, so what happened was about September 2009, it's been 5 years since we started the show. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Joey and I, it's really the summer before, in summer 2009, Joey and I had been talking a lot over GChat, you know, on Gmail, and just a lot of conversations. I was trying to play more competitively. I've just been this like super casual player for years and years and years. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of like going to these events, just losing all the time. So, you know, I want to play more competitively. So I started like, you know, asking Joey all these like rules questions, like, hey, how does this work? Hey, when does this happen? You know, and just kind of like picking his brain for stuff, just to help me become better. And like, what deck should I play? Why is this better than this? Why do people do this? Why doesn't this deck work? How come mill decks fucking suck? You know, like kind of stuff like that. And we're having these conversations over the GChat thing, and we were like, hey, you know, like, we've been having all these really good conversations that I feel like someone who wanted to get better at the game would really like to hear. So I was like, well, why don't we do a podcast? Because, so, a little going back even further, Worlds 2007, Joey, me, and our buddy Tim, got a hostel room in South Harlem, so we could go and attend Worlds, in New York City. And, Tom from Monday Night Magic was like, posted up on whatever, like maybe it was MTG Salvation. I'm actually almost certain it was MTG Salvation. Posted up on MTG Salvation. Hey, I'm looking for a place to stay, for Worlds. Anybody have a place I can stay? We bought all 4 beds in our hostel room, so we wouldn't have to have some random person in there with all of our cards. Right? So yeah, I mean, cause I mean, sure, that's just safe. And it was only like an extra $20. We're like, whatever.
Yeah, awesome.
So we were like, dude, come stay with us, you know? Like, hey, come stay with us, Tom. And like, that was, and Tom was like, okay. So Tom came and stayed with us, and so he could do Monday Night Magic coverage of World, and we had nothing to cover. We were just going there for the hell of it. It was a fun weekend, and actually me and Joey were on Monday Night Magic back in 2007, almost 2 years before we started the show, and it was awesome. And I remember like one of the first things I said, and I think one of the first things that I say a lot of times when I come on a podcast, and like as they're recording, not like before they're recording, first thing I used to do this a lot, I haven't as much anymore, first thing thing I used to say is, yo, can we cuss on this bitch? Like, that was always the first thing I used to, so I think that's the first thing I said on a podcast was, yo, can we cuss on this bitch?
The answer is yes tonight, by the way.
Thank God.
None of that edited.
So, can we cuss on this beep? No, but, so anyway, so we were talking about this shit and we're like, hey, you know, it'd be cool to do a podcast. We know Tom, we know that like, we have a place to air the show, you know, like we could do this if we wanted to. And it was like, oh, that sounds like a cool idea. What would we call it? And Joey's like, well, you know, we love the 90s and we love stuff like that. And I was thinking something like Yo MTG Rats or something. And I just kind of like all caps was just Yo MTG Taps. And he's like, oh shit, we gotta do a podcast now, huh? You know, like, cause you're like, that name is too good.
That name is, I mean, like that name is what drew me originally to it. Cause like I grew up during the Yo MTG Raps era and I'm like, you know, it's Yo MTG Raps, you know, like
we are on the Yo MTV Rap Wikipedia page. Thank you very much.
For real.
Yes, we're on the Wikipedia page as like other references. It's like there is a podcast about Magic the Gathering called Yo MTG Taps on the Yo MTV Raps Wikipedia page. Thank you very much.
That is fucking, that dude, that's like street cred right there.
That made me so fucking happy when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, like so cool. So yeah, but yeah, so we did the show, you know, for years and years, all the sponsorship and stuff came after, you know, it was a wild ride. And then, you know, eventually, we realized we were free of any obligations and, you know, Joey's taking a break. I sold all my cards 2 years ago. I had no cards for about a year. Started playing again over the summer last summer and then kind of got the bug and wanted to play more competitively and, then wanted to do the show. I just, for some reason, I just can't just play Magic.
No.
You know?
No.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Like, I just can't. Like, I'm just like, well, what am I gonna do? Like, well, why the hell am I gonna play if I don't record a show and talk about it? So, so Joey was, you know, more than supportive in terms of like, you know, letting me run with it while he's taking a break, getting his life on. Joey just got married on Saturday, and I was the minister who did the wedding.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No, I did not. I knew that you was going to do like the wedding and stuff, but I did not know that you was an ordained minister.
Well, the internet,
we'll do that. Yeah.
The internet's a wonderful thing, and it was awesome. It was so cool, and Joey was pumped, and everybody said it was really good, and I felt like I did a really good job, so I'm just really happy for him and Christina. So I set them up 19 years ago.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh, and they were just like, well, you got us together. It's only appropriate that you finish the job, you know? So so they had me, so I was the best man, and I was the damn minister for the wedding. It was awesome.
Excuse me, you got the ring? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold on. Switching sides, like, here you go. Let me get back over there now. All right.
No. I just stayed at the, you know, at the front of the stage or whatever, you know, as a minister. I wasn't like running, changing hat real fast and like talking in different voices and shit. No, it wasn't nothing like that. It was
that would have
like,
been awesome, but you know what? You would have stole her day and she might have hated you for the rest of your life.
Nah.
Like, that was my wedding and everyone's talking about you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I show up in a room, man. I just, you invited me. What did you expect?
Yeah. You've known me at least 19 years. It's not my fault.
I've known her even longer than I've known Joey.
Oh.
We met before, I'm pretty sure before I started kindergarten, because her grandmother's house is across the street from my house. So you know, so we used to always hang out and like one of the little stories I told in the like thing I did, I don't know how what to call it, in the actual ceremony, because it wasn't like there was like God stuff in the ceremony, but like I didn't say God or Jesus once, like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess homily, for lack of a better word. I am the minister, technically. I am performing a speech on stage, but one of the things I said was that I've known Christina so long that when our friend Michelle came up to us and we told her that we were in kindergarten, she said, nuh-uh, kindergarten's the place where you grow fruit vegetables. Like, that's how long I've known Christine, right? Like,
okay. I'm not gonna pretend I understand that reference.
Fine.
I don't get it. Oh well. Maybe it's a Baltimore thing.
What, kindergarten?
No, the fruits and vegetables kindergarten.
So she's the little girl. I mean, this is how little we were.
Oh, okay.
Our friend was like 4 and we were like 5 and she's like, hey, kindergarten's not a school. You know, like.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. You know what? It just went completely over my head.
Apparently so.
Wow. So, your host is stupid, folks. Damn it. Let me smack my head off.
Look, listen, it's okay. It's not your fault. You are geographically challenged. How are the Steelers doing, sir?
Honestly, this is the wrong year to ask me.
Why?
Because I have vowed to not watch the NFL this season.
You're a good man.
Because I do not like the rule changes that the NFL has made over past years.
You're a good man, and I applaud you. And guess what? I've been the same way, because my next question was going to be, how are the Ravens doing? Because I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, I used to be a huge fan. Like, I was the guy who had the Sunday ticket, you know, from DirecTV.
Yeah.
And I did all that shit. You know, I've been to games between the Steelers and Baltimore, in Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. You know,
like, I've never been to a game, which is unfortunate. But,
I've been there. So I was there when Ray Lewis, like, destroyed Rashard Mendenhall. Just broke his arm, put him out for the year, you know.
Nice! Oh, I mean, oh man, that's horrible, man. Was he okay?
Well, the thing was,
I sound like, concerned because I was kind of pumped.
Yeah, I figured out what he was doing. See, he was hiding the white tux. He was like, there's blood stains on this. Let me hide it.
Innocent. By the way.
Whoa. Not proven innocent.
By the way, Ray Lewis. Innocent man.
Pleaded down, proven innocent. Anyway, I used to be a huge NFL fan, and then, like, the way the rules and the way the game has changed, like, I know you can get behind this because, like, you know, we're AFC North. Like,
yeah,
I'm used to that hard-hitting, good football. That's the way I grew up playing. That's
absolutely
what I like. And, like, you touch the quarterback, and it's a 15-yard penalty.
Like, no, I mean, look at the fucking scores this year. It's, like, 60-40. Like,
really? I mean, it's sick. If you have
that fucking quarterback, they're gonna throw 6-7 touchdowns, and that's it. That's the NFL now. It's like, don't touch anybody, you know? Yeah. Like,
a bigger strike zone in Major League Baseball than there is an area where you're actually allowed to hit the quarterback.
Right? And that almost sounds like you're joking, but I'm pretty sure that's, like, correct.
I think it is, and even in that spot where you're allowed to hit him, you have to do it right. Like, you're not allowed to be looking at the ground when you hit him. If you do that, oh my god, that's how you're steering them. It's just, it's gotten so just pussified that I'm just like, I can't watch this anymore. Like, so I watch college ball. Like,
this is the thing. Like, I get why they're doing it. I get why they are protecting the players because they want fewer concussions. We've learned about concussions. we've learned the damage and the you know, just how bad the aftermath can be, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, like, so what happened this year was, my friend and I watched the World Cup over the summer. And we got real into the World Cup. And, I get into real into the World Cup about every 4 years, and then I don't follow through. So
yeah,
we got real
into
the World
Cup.
I love it, man. I'm actually watching soccer right now. So we watched the US team. We got real into it. And then this year I was like, I have cable. You know, they're showing Premier League on cable. I'm going to follow through. You know, I'm going to watch soccer this year. So I was trying to figure out what team we're going to watch, and we're Everton supporters because Tim Howard, the goalie of the US team, plays for Everton. So we've been watching Everton soccer this year. And for a lot of reasons, like, I mean, the NFL is a disaster right now. You know, it's just really a disaster. And like you said, you know, sorry. I'm kind of rambling here.
Yeah, it's what we do on this show.
Yeah. So, the problem is, so they've been like calling things a little tighter in soccer. You know, they have. They've been, you know, they're protecting players. They're making sure that players aren't playing with concussions. They're doing all that. The problem is that the changes that you have to make to football in order to properly protect from concussions fundamentally change the way the game is meant to be played and change the absolute foundation of the game.
Yep.
Like if you want to take the NFL and go, well, that's done. Here are the records from that, and then start a new sport called anything, or new league called anything else, you know, and then start over with new records and everything. I don't care. That's cool. You can do this, you know, like mm-hmm. that, you can protect them that way. But it's this, what's being put on the field right now this year is no longer the NFL. And there's nothing, it's not exciting anymore. It's just not.
No, I mean, I don't get into the high scoring shootouts. I never have been a big fan of that. And like people go, well, you watch college ball. and it doesn't matter how many times I tell people, because they just see, you know, the numbers at the end when like Appalachian State is playing fucking Oklahoma. Yeah, the score is going to be 62-0 in that game. I'm not watching that game. You know, I'm watching, you know, Big Ten ball, ACC ball, you know, short of Florida State and the ACC, it's parity.
Yeah, speaking of 62-0, I just put Chelsea on my DVR. Chelsea is like the highest scoring team in the Premier League this year, and they haven't lost yet. It's just, mm-hmm. it's scary, but they're probably going to beat up this, like, way inferior team, like, to nothing. Anyway.
That's sweet. You know what? Like, my biggest issue with soccer, and I'm more than willing to admit it to anybody, like, I've watched indoor soccer, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you put it on the big pitch, it just slows down too much for me. Like, I in soccer, I do like the excitement. I do want more goals, you know?
Sure,
like,
sure.
I'm a huge hockey fan, and when you play indoor soccer, it's like hockey with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm just like, this is amazing! And then I go watch it on the big pitch, and I'm like, okay, when's something gonna happen? And then finally somebody does score a goal, and you know, that's exciting, and that's cool, but at the same time, it's like, damn, I mean, I've been watching this game for 80 minutes, and they just scored.
Right, right, but you know, this is the same thing, that's almost a double standard, because you're talking about how you like defensive, bout in football, you know, and you don't like these high scoring games in football, but you want action and a million goals in soccer, where, you know, there is a lot of strategy to it, and you figure it out more the more you watch it, obviously, but there's a lot of strategy to, like, you know, building momentum and to, like, you know, setting up a play and just setting up. It's almost like chess, where you're like looking for that one opportunity to get in there and strike. And like, sometimes you get several, sometimes you get only one, sometimes both defenses are asleep and the game goes wild, and that's always exciting when that happens. See, the high scoring games in soccer are really exciting because you have no idea. Like, my team lost 5-3 to Chelsea, and like, your team loses, you're not gonna go rewatch the game. I went and rewatched it like 2 more times because it was such a fucking exciting match. The guys were just going nuts. Like, there's just goals everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double standard, but it's a different game too.
It is. You know,
I mean, I grew up, and I think we're right around the same age, so like, you'll understand my references. Like, I grew up in love with Ronnie Lott.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, that type of ball player. Mike Singletary. You know, like,
I'm pretty sure that I actually just dug up Ronnie Lott and Mike Singletary MVP thing. So like, there was this like set of cards. So there was like this MVP thing. So it came with a pin of the player and then a card, and it was on like a cardboard card,
mm-hmm.
clamp, you know, like an action figure case almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. I think I have ones of both Ronnie Lott and Mike Singletary. So yeah, I get the reference.
Yeah. So you know, like, when you grow up and that's the type of football you love, and you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so like
Steelers,
you know,
Ravens, we're
whole life I'm being told about Mean Joe Green and, you know, all the crazies from the 70s that, you know, I was just a little too young to enjoy. And
right.
It's just like, you know, that's what I want. I want to see somebody hit someone so fucking hard that their helmet goes flying off and they go spinning through the air 10 times. And that's not where the game is anymore.
No, it's not.
But that doesn't mean that I can't sit here and say, well, just because the game changed doesn't mean that I have to change with it. I no longer have to like it.
Right.
Because it's a different game.
It is. No, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like the changes that they've made, they had to make. You know, it's a sad fact that now we have the information, like the medical information, where they need to protect these guys. You know, you can't have too many more junior sayouts, you know, before there's like, you know, a real need to change things. And you don't want to wait till there are too many of them, you know?
No, you don't. But at the same time.
But you're right. You don't have to keep watching.
No, I don't have to give them my money if I don't think it's a product that, you know, I enjoy. And, you know, and at the same time, like I said, as soon as all the shit started, and, you know, I've kind of changed a little bit on it, but I still feel that it holds some weight. When you're coming out of college, I mean, all you have to do is get these guys to sign a waiver, because it really comes down to the fact that the NFL doesn't want to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would not mind having the most violent game on the planet. They just don't want to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the lawsuits is really what brought this on, because all the older players, you know, got treated like garbage and are still getting treated like garbage.
It's true.
But the newer players, I mean, they're not being treated like garbage and they can sign waivers. And, you know, when you leave college, yeah, you're young, but you know what? You at least have a head on your shoulders that can make the decision that, you know what? I know there's consequences in my future from playing this game. But I want to play. I will not come back and sue the league. And then you can keep some of these rules. And yeah, you probably will have tragedies once in a while, and I understand that, and it's sad when it happens, but you know, George Carlin once said that, you know, the only thing you're not going to need to wear a helmet for is to jerk off. And you know, it's kind of an overvaluing of just how everything is so safety conscious. Hey, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, let's just, you know, let these guys hit each other if they want to hit each other. Half of them get concussions and lie about it anyway.
That's true.
You know, so it's like, they're gonna play regardless. Let them do what they want to do. I mean, Ronnie Lott cut his own fucking finger off and went back in the fourth quarter. True story. Speaking of rules changes, I do want to get on to this because I'm sure anybody who knows me and has listened to my show, they know what I'm into. And anybody who's listened to Yo MTG Taps knows that you're into something that, you know, we have very common ground. And, you know, the rules changes kind of brings it up. How do you feel about the no blood policy or the no color policy in major wrestling right now?
You know, I don't mind it at all. And this is the thing, like, okay, so I'm going to make a statement right now that's going to be very controversial. So, you know, I was watching, and this is so random, but I was watching an interview with Daniel Radcliffe, of all people, from the Harry Potter series, right? I was watching an interview with him on Jimmy Fallon, and he did a movie called Horns recently, where he talks with an American accent. And what he said on this interview was that to learn his American accent, he learned his American accent from the WWE, from watching pro wrestling.
That's awesome.
And you know, he watched when like Stone Cold and The Rock and all those guys were around. And what he said was, he's like, you know, I grew up in the golden age and the golden era of wrestling, you know? And I think that that's something that like everyone thinks about their time watching wrestling when they were a kid. The time period that you spent watching wrestling before you knew that the outcomes were predetermined. You know what I mean? Is the time that you consider to be the golden era of wrestling. And you think
to hell you mean outcomes you predetermined.
Did you see the Foot Locker commercial with John Cena recently?
Yeah, I like it.
Yes. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. I couldn't believe they let him do that. No, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't ever say that.
Oh man, that was great. I was just so like thrown because of that commercial. I couldn't even believe it. But anyway, so like I feel like everybody thinks that, you know, everybody thinks that their era of wrestling was the golden era of wrestling, et cetera, et cetera. Now I'm going to make a statement that I think is going to be very controversial, and I think that the era that we are witnessing today in wrestling is the golden era. I think that the product that is on TV today is the product that's going to be looked at as like one of the greatest times in professional wrestling. And I've got a lot of reasons for that, you know?
Okay. And I'm going to rebuttal every one of them.
No. So first of all, okay. The blood thing. All right. I love that stuff. I love the hardcore matches, you know, growing up. This is how old school I am. My favorite wrestlers when I was young, 4 years old, 5 years old, were Ric Flair, Cactus Jack, this is all NWA now, the Road Warriors, and Mean Mark Callis, Skyscraper, Dangerous Dan Spivey, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those were my favorite wrestlers. And Doom, you know, they were amazing. Like, all those wrestlers were, like, some of my favorite wrestlers, right? But, so I love Cactus Jack stuff. I love all the hardcore matches. The Hell in the Cell was the reason I ever came back to watching wrestling from after I found out it was predetermined. Like, I was like, wrestling's fake, quote unquote, and broke my little heart, and I stopped watching it in like 94 or something, you know? About 4 or 5 years later, my buddy's like, hey man, you gotta see this match. And he showed me that match, Joey Pasco. Like, you gotta see this match. I can't believe this just happened. And shows me the Undertaker, versus Mankind match from Hell in a Cell. And I was back, and I actually didn't watch for much longer after that. But anyway, so that stuff was great and all, right? But again, just like with, you know, football, something had to change, right? Because these guys were dying, you know?
No, I mean, I get you with that. I mean, but the guys who are good at it with the razor, guys who are good with the razor don't really hurt themselves. And
right.
I also think that, you know, like, I don't like the no blood policy. And the only reason I don't like it is I don't think it should be in every match. It did get a bit, it became too common.
Yes.
But there is a time and a place for it. Like, I got done watching a Hell in a Cell match not too long ago where these guys are slamming their heads in the metal bars and yet no one's bleeding. I mean, there's a time and a place for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, people bleed, though. That's the thing. I like the fact that they're not cutting themselves. You cut a promo against Ric Flair and he gets busted open.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I mean, like, you're like, yeah. You yell at him too loud and he's just like crimson mask. Like, really? Like,
it was overdone, but at the same time and a place. Like, think back to like WrestleMania 13, okay?
Listen, let me just say this.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. You don't have to, wait, we don't need to argue that. Because, no, like zero blood, I don't like, okay? Yeah. But we don't have zero blood.
It is zero. No, we don't. They stop matches to patch people up now.
Sometimes they do, but that's okay. We have the technology to patch people up and stop the match. I don't mind that. Listen.
I do.
I don't mind that because it makes it seem more like real sports. They do that in real sports. They will stop
boxing? I mean, well, they don't stop boxing.
But they stop every 3 minutes. You know what I mean? There are no rounds in wrestling. So there's
depends on where you're watching it from. If you ever watch European wrestling?
No.
They're 5 minute rounds. It's wild, dude.
No.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's like the heel will come out and win like the first two rounds, and then the baby face will come out and just crush him for the next three. And then after five rounds, the decision goes to the baby face. And it's just like, it's a different style, but it's really cool.
Yeah, well, so, like, they stop things to patch him up. Yeah, sure. You know what? That's okay. I think that's fine. Like, let the guy get patched up. That's okay. Like,
yeah, if you're gonna be badass, though, you know?
They are badass, man. They are super badass. I did one day of pro wrestling training. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, okay.
I did one day, and I got my ass kicked, and I never went back, because I was just like, yeah, I'm too old for this shit. I can't do this.
No.
But, like, those guys big deal with enough, like, not being cut open, just hitting the mat a bunch of times. Like,
that shit hurts. I know it does. I do. Shane Douglas, his school was opened up literally a 10-minute walk from my house. So, like, I've been in the rings. Smacking them ropes hurts enough.
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah.
That's not even a backdrop. That's just running the ropes hurts like hell. I know that.
Oh, it does. But, like, I have a much, much better appreciation for what those guys do just from going, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I didn't trust myself. I didn't have enough confidence in myself to protect the other person. And that was the main thing where I was like, I can't do that because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody and I don't want to do that. But anyway, when a guy gets busted open the hard way, he gets busted open and there's nothing they can do about that.
Right.
And the guys get busted open. And I think that the fact that they are hitting that cage a whole bunch of times and not bleeding is good because it's real. Like, if they were actually bleeding, then they would actually bleed.
But the thing is, like, the whole suspension of disbelief, if you're actually hitting that cage and you're trying to tell this story and bring the fans with you and make it show like you're hitting this cage, and if you're actually hitting it and, you know, not getting your hand up and everything, then you're gonna bleed.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Like, you can't run your head into a metal post 10 times and not bleed. You know, moving as fast as they do. I mean, they know how to, you know, protect themselves to where they don't. And that's just, you know, like, should it be in a normal match? No. But, like, in the Hell in a Cell, in the, in steel cages, I mean, if you're raking somebody's face off of the cage, you know, I want to see a little blood there.
Yeah, and it happens once in a while, but, like, they just can't, you know? I don't know. I'm okay with it, man. Like, I think that the wrestling that's going on right now is really what, and that's the thing, is that because there isn't all this blood and all these gimmicks, like, you've got wrestling matches. I mean, like, look at the top guys. So, like, 5 years ago, you know, everybody's looking at the WWE and going, oh, WWE's not real wrestling. I'm a fan of Tyler Black. I'm a fan of Jon Moxley. I'm a fan of Claudio Castagnoli. I'm a fan of Bryan Danielson. I'm a fan of CM Punk. That's real wrestling, you know? Those guys took over, man. We had Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose at the main event of Hell in a Cell. Does it matter if they bleed? Those guys are amazing. And, like, the fact that we get to see them headline a pay-per-view in, like, one of the most iconic stipulations of all time, like, that is amazing. And that is, to me, why this is the golden era of wrestling, because we've got wrestling. We had Triple H doing a tiger suplex at fucking WrestleMania. Holy shit. Like, that's unreal. Like, I mean, like, wrestling is back. Like, in terms of, like, actual wrestling, you know? These guys can blade themselves all day, you know? They can blade themselves. Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't a good wrestler, you know? Like, I mean, I'm not saying
he was a good mechanic.
He was, he was a good performer, but the guy was, like, a brawler, you know? He didn't really have, like, moves. Like, I don't know. He wasn't that good of a wrestler, you know?
I mean, he wasn't a top rope guy or anything like that, but he was a sturdy mechanic. You know, don't get me wrong. If he didn't know how to use those mic skills, he probably would have ended up being, you know, what used to be a jobber back in the day,
you know,
who just goes from promotion to promotion and just, you know, puts people over. But he did have a little bit of skill on the mic. And,
a little bit. That's an understatement. Come on. It's one of the greatest talk of all time.
But the thing is, if you look early on in his career, he didn't have that.
Well, he wasn't given that. You know, he wasn't given the opportunity.
Oh, he was down in WCW, he was.
But when he went to ECW,
That's when he was given the chance. Yeah, it's like, you know what, say what you want and be pissed. I don't care. And that's when the change happened. But,
yeah.
You know, he was a good mechanic who found a niche and was like, I got it.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know? And yeah, I'll give him that. But he was a fine wrestler. I don't know. A lot of the product I see in the ring now, mind you, 2 years ago was a hell of a lot worse than it is now. Like you said, the names that they brought in and the people they brought in, and, you know, the last couple years has impressed the hell out of me. Like, all the new guys have been good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we've dealt with a lot of shit, too, over the last 10 years. It's just like, this is terrible.
Yeah, well, I started watching again in 2011. So there was a long period between, like, 90... SummerSlam 2000, I think, was the last pay-per-view I watched. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Vengeance in 2006 because I heard DX was coming back to fight the Spirit Squad. I had to watch that. So I watched that and then pretty much stopped watching again less than a month later. But then 2011, I got sucked in by the Royal Rumble because it's just such a great pay-per-view. And right. I was like, oh, 40 guys in the Rumble? I'm in. I was just like, I don't even care. I'm in. I won't watch it. Like,
yeah.
And so I watched it and then I heard The Rock was going to like be a guest on there. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll blah, 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 you know. And I was like, maybe I'll stick around till WrestleMania. By the time WrestleMania came around, I was checking news sites like 20 times a day.
Just sucked
was,
in.
Like, yeah, it was
over. Fuck, I'm hooked. No, yep. I didn't watch it for years. I watched it, but I didn't, like, since WrestleMania 3, mm-hmm. I've gotten every WrestleMania. Even when I didn't watch wrestling, it was like, it's WrestleMania.
That's cool.
I just
That's
gotta
cool.
get it. So I'd get that and I'd get the Rumble every year. No questions asked, even if I wasn't, you know, a quote unquote wrestling fan at the time. So I've always kind of had an eye on it all the time, but you know, I didn't watch it every week religiously. And then like in probably the last, I don't know, about 4 years, I've come back to, you know, religiously.
Yeah.
But you know, like I grew up, you know, when I was really into wrestling, like I knew it was fake already. But I had ECW doing matches basically in my backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm going to go watch ECW. And it was like, I don't care if this shit's fake. I don't know how you fake New Jack falling off of scaffolding on a feet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how you fake that. That's what brought me back into wrestling. Cause I was kind of the same as you. Like Coco Beware as a kid was my shit. And then like I found out it was fake and I was like, all the hell with this.
It was Ultimate watching Warrior completely. For me, dude.
Ultimate Warrior, Coco Beware, and Hulk Hogan. My three dudes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank God somebody liked Coco.
Dude, our little kid, he had the bird. I was like,
oh, he was great.
Shit.
That poor guy. Like, I mean, I watched him, because ever since I got the network, I've started watching the pay-per-views in chronological order. And, I mean, like, Coco's stuff is all in the earlier stuff. And, man, he was a pretty good wrestler. He didn't get a lot of respect. And, like, he didn't get a lot of opportunities. But he was a pretty good wrestler, man.
Yeah, he's a good worker.
Yeah.
So, you said we're in the golden era.
Yes!
So now I'm going to pose this question to you.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the Survivor Series that happened over the weekend?
I didn't see it live.
Okay, but you saw it.
But I did see it, thanks to the WWE Network, which is available for only $9.99. I was able to watch it when I got back in town because I flew to Baltimore the Thursday night before. But I hate flying, so I had booked a Greyhound ticket to get home. So I took the bus back, and of course my bus was 33 hours.
Ouch.
and was during Survivor Series, so I wasn't able to watch it live. But I got home and watched it, and I absolutely loved it, man.
Now I will, and again, like, I mean, this is my thought. I thought that until the very last match,
mm-hmm.
that pay-per-view was on its way to being the worst pay-per-view ever.
That's not true, because last year's main event was Randy Orton versus The Big Show, and I did not order that pay-per-view, and I order most of them.
I'm just gonna pose this to you. Adam Rose and a fucking rabbit fought against Titus O'Neil and
Slater Gator.
Yeah, Slater. That combination right there should never be in a pay-per-view ever.
I wish
ever.
I wish I liked the story with the rabbit less than I do. I love it.
Oh, I can't stand it. It just brings.
But I like Papa Shango, man.
Yeah,
I like.
I don't like the gimmick wrestling that I grew up with because that's the stuff that, you know, reminds me as I'm watching it that it's fake, and I want to expel disbelief.
This is the thing, is that they've got both worlds going right now at once, and I really love that. I love the fact that they have this, like, the campy, like, obviously, like, fantasy stuff going on, like a fucking Bray Wyatt hologram, you know, which annoyed me. We can get into that.
Bray
Wyatt's
awesome.
But I loved the hologram. I did. I thought it was awesome. So many people were like, oh, it's bullshit, you know, it's so dumb, why would they do that, man? Because I love that kind of shit. But like,
help me,
but you've got that, you've got the bunny, you've got this crazy shit, you've got Miz and Sandow doing their thing, but then you've also got like real wrestling, you know. I mean, like, think about a couple weeks ago on SmackDown, we had a triple threat intercontinental title match, Cesaro versus Ziggler versus Tyson Kidd. Like, that's fantastic. fantasy booking, man. That shit's not supposed to actually fucking happen.
Yes, like, Cesaro needs a better push.
That was an awesome match, but that's the thing is that Cesaro's being patient. And that's the thing you gotta be, is you gotta be a team player. Like, not every guy can hold a title, you know? But like, they are actors. Let's be real here. They are actors, and they are in a company of actors. You know, when you've got somebody like Batista, who shows up and he's like, I wanna win the belt. Why can't I have the belt? Like, cause, well, first of all, you know, like, well, I need the belt. I'm strong. I should win the belt. Well, you aren't cast in the role of guy who wins the fucking belt. You know, you're cast in this role. So fucking do it. You know, like, and it always drives me nuts when you hear about guys, like, taking that shit too serious. And, like, taking, like, whether or not they have a title too seriously. Like, you're in a company of actors. You know, you're on a team. You have to play the part that you're given in the team. Like, Damian Sandow has been given the most, like, humiliating stuff to do for the long, for, like, the last year or more.
Yeah, I know, and it kills me because he's such a good worker.
But he just does it, you
know?
He
does. He sells like a motherfucker. And he doesn't care what they give him. He's going
to
sell it.
He does. And you know what? He is going to have the WWE title within 3 years because of this. Because he has proven that he's a team player. He's proven that he's there no matter whether or not he is given a push or being ridiculed. He is just, he just does his job. And guys who do their job and guys who work for the good of the company get rewarded. It might not happen right away, but it happens. You know? You look at Ziggler. Like, Ziggler had a, Ziggler got close.
He was a fucking cheerleader.
Well, yeah, man, but he got close to, you know, he had his run, he had the Money in the Bank briefcase, you know, but then he had his concussion, and it was a bad timing thing. Yeah. There's not much you can do about that, you know? and then for a while, they were scared to put a belt on him, because he was prone to injuries and prone to concussions, and they wanted to really make sure that he had his shit together. And he almost started complaining. He almost started complaining to the point where it seemed like it was more than kayfabe, you know?
Yeah.
And if he were to actually complain to that degree, like, he would probably either be gone or he'd be doing something less than he is. Yeah, he just lost the belt, but look at the showing he had on Sunday, man. He was the last guy, you know? Yeah. He was the sole survivor up against the impossible odds, you know?
He was the man that Sting got to flip over.
He was the man that Sting got to flip over.
Yep.
Can you imagine how much of an honor it must be for Dolph Ziggler to be even on his ass in that ring when Sting shows up in the for the first time?
Yeah, he's gonna always get to say, dude, I was in the ring when Sting came for the first time.
There
was only three of us.
There were
and
three
I was one
guys. You know what I mean? Like, there were three guys that get to say that.
Yeah, one and married, like, into the company, and then there was two other ones.
Yeah, you know?
That's it.
And it's, oh man, I mean, what a dream come true, you know? Imagine, like, you're a kid and you grow up watching wrestling, you grow up loving Sting and, like, loving, like, wrestling in general, and just to be able to be there for that moment, because it's the ultimate, like, when is it gonna happen sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, we've been waiting forever for Sting to show up in a WWE ring. You know, I started to think it would never happen.
So did I. Like, I figured if he didn't show up at WrestleMania, because he was there. He was there to promote the video game that was coming out in a few months. So I'm like,
right.
He's gonna show up here. And when he didn't show up in WrestleMania, I'm like, okay, he'll show up at SummerSlam. Didn't show up at SummerSlam, I'm like, he ain't showing up.
Yeah.
You know, if I see him, it'll be next WrestleMania. Like, they're not gonna bring him in on just some random card.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think this is, like, I didn't think that was a good pay-per-view because of the fact that, like, they almost had to bring Sting in to save it.
I don't think so, though. I mean, like, so, you know, you've got the tag team match wasn't the best.
No, it's a bad match.
I'm disappointed because I really wanted that to be good. You know, Wyatt versus Ambrose, that was great. That was a great match.
Bray Wyatt's never put out a bad match.
That was a great match, you know? Wyatt is amazing.
He does not put out bad matches. He just doesn't, and, you know, that's one of those ones you can almost etch in stone is going to be a good match if he's in it. And
yeah.
The same thing can go for Ambrose. And the two of them together, I mean, they go all the way back to fucking OVW.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, they know each other. You know, like, I knew that was going to be a good match, but, like, the Divas, Survivor Series match was horrendous.
I'm not gonna lie, and I hate to say that because the Divas have made huge improvements in the last couple years. They really have. They've done a really good job of you know, running with the time they're given. You know, and AJ Lee has a lot to do with that.
AJ Lee's good.
Is fantastic. Well, yeah. Was as far as I know, she's done. I think that Monday was her last night with company.
That's a shame because she's good.
Is.
Like, I mean, my big thing with the Divas is, like, yeah, they've gotten better, but they still need to go leaps and bounds further just to catch up to TNA's knockouts.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that I don't know. I think that they're doing a great job. And I think that like Brie and Nikki, like they've proven that they can wrestle. Like, and they couldn't always wrestle. Like,
I still don't think they can wrestle.
They can wrestle, man. Brie is special. Brie is even better than Nikki, but Brie and Nikki have improved their game 1,000% over the last 2 years. They used to not be able to wrestle. When they left the company, they couldn't. They were, you know, I mean, yeah. They weren't that good. They were models that were hired to be wrestlers. But they've really stuck with it, and they've proven that they want to learn to improve, and they want to be better wrestlers. And I mean, you see like, you know, I mean, you see Brie doing like drop kicks off top rope. You know what I mean? And you see like Nikki doing some good stuff. I mean, they're doing good work. I think they're doing.
It's sloppy though from that.
Some like, of, you know what though? A lot of it has to do with
Fox.
Alicia Fox. Fox,
great wrestler. Legitimately yeah. great wrestler. Like, I mean, she could be on the same card with like a Gail Kim, who I respect like beyond, I mean, as far as female wrestlers go, I think she's the best in the game right now. Mm. And like, I think Alicia Fox could be in the ring with her, no problem. Where at the same time, when I watch like, you know, yeah, the Bellas have gotten better, but they're still not there. Mm. I mean, they're still green, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I don't think any of them could, you know, think back to the golden era of even the female wrestlers when you had like, Lita mm-hmm. and, what was the blonde? I don't know, that era. You know, when
you know, I went to grade school with Stacey Kibler. Did you know that?
No,
Stacey,
I did not.
Stacey Kibler. Kibler?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Stacey Kibler. Kibler. I went to, yeah. I was in, fourth grade when she was in eighth grade. My cousin had a huge crush on her, was in her grade.
Can't say I blame him.
It was very, very strange that I don't know, it was just weird. We went to Catholics, very strange.
You know, it's weird and it's strange, but at the same time, like I've grown up with it where like people I grew up with are like, you know, running, they're in the NFL making tons of money or, you know, it's just one of those things, I guess. Like, you know, Darrell Revis, I know him.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
You know, it's like, I know the guy. I've, you know, sat there and ate food with him, you know, but,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I sit there and I turn on ESPN and they're talking about a few years ago when he had his island. I just laughed about that. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. What the hell is Darrell doing? You know, but
that's very
funny. I mean, so yeah, like I get that, but it's just, I don't know, like, you know, I think that the females need to push their game up a little bit more. It needs to get a little more tighter. It needs to be not as loose and as sloppy because there's some bad female wrestlers. The chick who walks around, you know, with the Hail Hitler thing, I don't know what that is.
What are you talking about? Oh, Emma.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Hey, well, you know, if you don't like what Emma's doing, do you know who you can blame? You can blame Sarah Del Rey, one of the best women's wrestlers of all time, is training them, and she, but I'm saying though, like they have, they're in good hands. Like,
yeah.
Sarah Del Rey is like one of, huh?
Finley's one of their big trainers.
Yeah, Finley, and actually, before he left the company, it was Goldust.
Right.
Goldust was training them too. No, but like, all I'm saying is like, there's only room for them to improve, and I think, I don't know. Like, I thought that the Divas title match was brilliant. I loved that. I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
It was a good show, but it wasn't a good wrestling match.
Well, it was short, but
yeah,
like, I love the way they did it. You know, I love the way they set it up. I thought it was really good, because it advanced the story,
right.
You know, but like, but no, I mean, yeah, the Survivor Series match, bit of a disaster, and I fast forwarded it.
Yeah.
I hate to do that.
And let's see, what else was on the card that night? The Miz match, or the tag team match, which was terrible.
Yeah.
Then,
but I love the way it worked. Like, I love the way it ended, and I love the way that Miz and Sandow are playing off each other.
No, that makes me chuckle, don't get me wrong. I don't know, like, I like more out of my pay-per-views, and like, no, don't get me wrong. The actual Survivor Series match, top notch.
Mm-hmm.
I take my hat off to that. That was a great match. It told a great story. When the big show turned, I was like, holy shit, you know,
yeah.
Like it's over. And you know, I completely bought into that. Like, even though I still the whole time felt like they can't, because of their roster being shortened due to injuries, I'm like, they can't fire four guys. They just can't.
Right. And I love, okay. So coming back to wrestling, you know, in 2011, I'm coming to it with like all of the stuff that I grew up with in terms of like the big four being the big four and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And like Survivor Series to me never felt like it was that important. And I was like, well, last year, I was even saying, I hope they get rid of it because like last year's Survivor Series was a fucking joke. Any pay-per-view where Big Show is in the main event after the year 2000 is a fucking joke. I'm sorry. I hate Big Show. I can't fucking stand him.
I think he could do it, but I don't think that he's, ever given, because like when he's mean, that's when he's at his best. But they never let him do it long enough.
He punches people. Like, oh my god.
When you're that big, that's all you need to do.
No! No, everybody punches people. How come his punches are better? Because he goes, first and like revs up his arm?
It's because his hand is the size of their head.
So is Great Khali's, but his
who used to win with a chop. Okay. Knock people out, just hit him on top of the head.
Alright, fine. No, but like, I just don't like the Big Show. I just don't think that he needs to be clogging up the main events of anything. He needs to be an ambassador for the company. He needs to be on tours. But with that said, the shit they did with him this weekend was actually good. And especially his follow-up on Monday Night Raw was incredible. But this is the first Survivor Series where I was invested in the actual Survivor Series match. They did a great job building it up as being important. They put a lot on the line. And you know what? Something better be on the line with your champion not anywhere to be found.
Yeah, that's beginning to annoy me. Like, how many pay-per-views do I gotta sit and watch without a title belt?
Yeah, that's annoying. So this is what pissed me off about Hell in a Cell, right? So, Cena versus Orton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Orton, Cena won, right? Cena won? Yeah.
They fought so many times. Yeah, I can't get him.
Cena wins. I like John Cena, okay? I really like John Cena, and I didn't always really like
him. And you're
John
a grown Cena. Damn man, and you just didn't.
I'm a grown ass man, and I like John Cena. And
you sure you don't want me to edit that out?
If I go, I promise you I don't. If I go to an event and John Cena's out, listen, I'm still gonna chant Cena suck, cause my balls are dropped, and that's my job. Alright? That's my job, is to chant Cena sucks after a bunch of little high-pitched kid voices go, let go Cena! It's my job to chant Cena sucks, alright? I know that. I know my role, and I won't shut my mouth, because I'm loud as shit. So, but the thing is, John Cena has really impressed me over the last, like, 2 years, okay?
Dude.
John Cena has proven to me that he deserves the spot he is in. You know, you show up watching wrestling, and you see this guy wearing jorts, and you're like, what the fuck is this guy? You know, why is he there? You know, like, and he had matches that really pissed me off. Like, beating Miz and Alex Riley, basically, in an I Quit match, to me was bullshit. Like, I'm like, there's no way he beat two people. Like, the Super Cena thing can be annoying, okay? but listen to me. So, I think it was 2012, right? Yeah, it must have been 2012. I don't remember. Maybe it was 2013. It was 2013 was, what the hell's name? Okay, so CM Punk versus John Cena, Monday Night Raw, in Dallas, where the winner gets to fight The Rock for the title at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
That match was the most exciting thing I have ever seen in my life. And I was there for Jay versus Mark Briscoe for their ROH title, alright, last year. I was there, too, in the same year, and I think that match better. John Cena has proven that he will give everything in the ring. John Cena, for SummerSlam, could have forfeited the belt and got his damn surgery on his baseball-sized wound on his arm.
Yeah.
He could have, and he would have had every right.
And nobody would have faulted him for it.
Could to go, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I need the surgery. Here, I'm going to vacate the title. Brian can beat somebody for the title. And then he doesn't have to lose Daniel Bryan. But John Cena said, fuck that. I want to get pinned by this guy and have him win the belt before I leave TV. Like, he wanted to put Bryan over before he had his surgery. And regardless of whether or not he should have under any medical logic, you know, he shouldn't have. He should not have dressed that night.
That looked terrible.
But not
for
only
a month. It looked terrible.
But not only did he wrestle Daniel Bryan, he wrestled Daniel Bryan, and he had a hell of a wrestling match against Daniel Bryan. And all I've seen John Cena do over the last, like, year and a half, 2 years, is have damn good wrestling matches. And it doesn't seem like something that should be true. But he's done a lot to improve his game and to become a better wrestler. Because it's not like he doesn't hear people saying you can't wrestle. It's not like he doesn't fucking hear that shit.
The six moves of John Cena.
You know? It's not like he doesn't hear that shit. He hears it. But like, you look at him versus like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was a terrible wrestler.
Oh,
like,
horrendous.
He was awful. Like, he wouldn't even take a bump. That's the thing. It's like, he wouldn't take a bump. John Cena takes like 16 fucking Germans. You know what I mean?
Cena's thing, he just takes bump after bump, and that's where the five or six moves of Cena comes from, is the fact that he'll take bump after bump after bump, and he looks like he's dead, and
right.
Then all of a sudden he busts out the five or six moves, and then all of a sudden he wins, and I think that's kind of what irritates people. I will say this about Cena, when I really got back into wrestling,
Warrior Princess?
Yeah. I said it right, trust me.
I actually just started watching the show, it's incredible, but anyway.
But no, what I will say about him is, like, when I first got back into wrestling, The reason I did it was like, I always got the WrestleManias regardless. And I had my nephew come over because he liked wrestling. And he's like, at the time he was like 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So he still believes.
Yeah.
And he was such a Xena fan. And I mean, he's just jumping out on my couch. Yeah. Flipping out watching it. And I'm just like, you know what? Regardless of how I feel about the way this dude can wrestle, he's doing his job because I'm looking at my nephew over there losing his mind over this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you have to have that. And I do respect that. Don't get me wrong. It is what it is. And to be honest, Joe, I'm sure we can sit here for another 8 hours and talk wrestling.
Sure.
And we're going to have to do it sometime, I'm sure. because, you know, I have a little different view than you, but, you know, hey, we both love the sport.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's great entertainment regardless of how you look at it, but we're about out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Just one last time, real quick, if you'd like to give people your contact info again, you know, in case they didn't write it down at the beginning and now they've heard your voice and they've heard what you got to say, they're going to want to find you.
No, they're not, but hey, I'll give it anyway. So, we're on, our website's iwantmymtg.com. We're available every Friday starting, this Friday on legitmtg.com. Twitter is at yomtgtaps or at omgwtfbhjftw. For me, and then my 14-year-old self will tell you that my Instagram is at yomtgs.
If you wanted to get a hold of me, you can find me at Gawksuo on Twitter. That's GAKSUOU. The same thing on MTGO, where, you know, if you wanted to join the Pit Imps clan, you can just send an email to me or a private message, and I will put you into the clan that quick. You can email me at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. You can find me each and every week on the Pit Imps podcast, and every other week right here on the Imps Prison. Thanks, guys, for listening. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.